Welcome to Words to Encourage, the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church of Grove City, Ohio. Everyone needs encouragement. We all need to be uplifted. With today's encouragement, here's our pastor, Stan Slater.
With a smile, a bright sunny smile.
Welcome to Words to Encourage. This is the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church. We are located in Grove City, Ohio, and I'm Brother Slaybaugh. Well, good Thursday to you. And how was your church service last night? A wonderful midweek service here at Bible Baptist Church, and just a great meeting in the middle of the week, and the guest speaker did a wonderful job for us last night, and we enjoyed it immensely, and looking forward to a great day today. Hope you had a good church service where you were, that you were in your place, and that you were a blessing to your church and to your pastor, and that God spoke to your heart, gave you what you needed here in the middle of the week. And maybe we can add to that a little bit today, because I want to talk to you about A nobody. 1 Samuel chapter 16 is where God has told Samuel to go and anoint David to be the next king. And you know the story. He calls the sons of Jesse before him, and he keeps thinking this one's the one and the next one's the one. But the Lord said, verse 7, the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And of course, Abinadab comes, and then Shammah comes, and Jesse made 7 of his sons to come before Samuel. And verse number 11, Samuel said to Jesse, are all here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him. We will not sit down until he come hither. And he sent and brought him. Now he was ruddy, and with all of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. You know, there's some great examples throughout the Bible. And you've heard the saying, an example or a picture is worth 1,000 words. An example is worth 1,000 words. I believe that. Now, the Bible doesn't gloss over some of the great characters of the Bible. Doesn't gloss over their mistakes or their errors. The Bible doesn't pretend that they're perfect men or women. Their failures are open and they're honestly documented. But it's a great inspiration to us and a great encouragement to us to see how God will take an imperfect person who will be completely committed to him and use him in a great way. David is called a man after God's own heart. There's more written about David than any other character in the Old Testament. There are over 66 chapters in the Old Testament given to the life of David. And there's 57 New Testament references to him. So he's a great example for us, and he had struggles. But we can gain and learn from his struggles. David is being chosen to be the king in place of Saul. Nobody noticed. Nobody realized it except for God. And he was out. In fact, he wasn't even going to be shown to Samuel until Samuel asked if you have any other boys beside this one. And so he was just in the search for David. That's the first thing I want us to notice, is that he was willing to be a nobody. Why was David chosen? You go back about 40 years earlier to when they were demanding a king because they wanted to be like all the other nations. And by the way, that's a wrong motive for wanting to have a king. And they wanted to be like the nations around them. And so they decide, let's find a man. And beginning in chapter 9, they find a man from the tribe of Benjamin whose name was Saul. And the main attraction they had for Saul was he was a pretty wonderful physical specimen. In fact, he was young, he was tall, he was head and shoulders, the Bible says, above all the other men. And so that's a good public image. And they felt like he'd be the guy to have because he was big. But listen, that those characteristics don't ensure quality leadership. Because while he was significant to men, he would soon be disobedient to God. He began as a humble servant, but it wasn't long until his real character was revealed. And we find out that Saul turned out to be a very proud man, stubborn, impetuous, and very self-willed. And those character flaws led to his downfall. He deliberately disregarded God's word in the matter of the Amalekites in 1 Samuel chapter 15. He'd been king for about 10 years when this order came to wipe out basically the Amalekites and don't spare anything, destroy them completely. And he disobeyed the clear command of God. God comes to Samuel, and he says in 1 Samuel 15 that it repented him that he set up Saul to be king, for he's turned back from following me if he not perform my commandments. And when Samuel goes to see Saul, Saul salutes him, and he said, "Blessed be thou the Lord, I perform the commandment of the Lord." And that's when Samuel had to say, "Well, what does the bleating of the sheep in my ears mean and the lowing of the oxen? How can I hear something that's dead? If you destroyed everything, how am I hearing that?" And Saul tries to wiggle his way out by saying that it was the people, and I just left the best things to sacrifice to God. And Samuel tells him that great verse, verse 22 of 1 Samuel 15, "Hath the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Obedience is far better than sacrifice. God cares more about obedience than any religious observance you can possibly do. To obey is better than sacrifice. Was he commanded to sacrifice? Yes. Wasn't sacrificing a good thing? Yes. But sacrifice doesn't mean anything to God if it's brought with disobedience. It doesn't matter to me if you come to church and give 50% of your money to the Lord. If you teach things that look spiritual, but if your heart and your life is in disobedience to God, it doesn't mean anything. Samuel is very upset that Saul failed so miserably. Samuel wept and mourned for Saul when God told him the kingdom would be taken away from him, but then he tells him, "You're going to go anoint David." And of course, that's what we read today, where finally he gets to David and he anoints him to be the king. You understand, God doesn't see people as the world sees people. David would not have been Israel's next choice. Too young, no military experience, no education, a sheep herder. But understand, God wasn't impressed by brawn or by brains or by stature. He's impressed by a heart that completely is yielded to him. So God says that someone who may be unnoticed by man may be of great worth to God. And so David is chosen. Wouldn't it be great if we could change our mentality and see beyond the surface of people and see their hearts? We could really know folks and see not only what they are, but what God says they could be. And so the search for David ends with him being anointed. The standard for us is this: David possessed a heart of dependence upon God. Compare Saul's heart to David's. When he came to depending on the Lord, Saul took matters in his own hands. He thought he was going to miss a chance for his own glory. David said, "God alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. Everything depends on God. God is my refuge. I will pour my heart out to him." That's a man after God's own heart. Do you have a heart that depends on God? Are you depending on the Lord in your marriage? For your children? Are you just trying to do the best you can and make it up as you go along? You're depending on God to take care of your needs, or are you to worry constantly how things are going to work out? If God knows every sparrow that falls to the ground, don't you think he knows about your needs? A heart that's dependent on God. Number two, David had a heart of obedience to God. He said in Psalm 40, verse 8, "I delight to do thy will, O Lord, yea, thy law is within my heart." In fact, he said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." His whole desire was to be obedient, to know God's will and to do it. I don't just want to know what God wants so I can decide whether to do it. I want to know what God wants so I can do it. God's not looking for hearts that are perfect, but hearts that are striving to do his will. A heart of obedience to God, a heart of dependence upon God, the heart of a servant for God. God said in Psalm 89:20, "I found David, my servant. With my holy oil I have anointed him." Notice David, my servant. Somebody said servanthood is humility in practice. To be a servant means I'm going to do menial tasks no matter what they are. A servant does not care who gets the credit. In fact, to be a servant, you just have one goal, the success of your superior. Steve Brown is a popular radio Bible teacher. I've not heard him. But he said one morning after church service, a lady came up to him and said, "I wanted to meet you because I've listened to your sermons on the radio, and they've turned my life around. I didn't know the Lord. My whole life has been changed because of your messages, and I just wanted to meet you." She continued, "And I also wanted you to meet a friend of mine, too." And she turned back from her friend and said to Mr. Brown, "I'm sorry, what's your name again?" She forgot his name. Now, you say, well, wait a minute. If those sermons changed her life, how could she forgot who gave them? The point is, she hadn't forgotten where they came from. But the truth is, Brother Brown said, "I was thrilled." She was remembering the message and not the messenger. It's the word of God that's being honored, and that's the goal. Jesus said, if you want to be the greatest, let him be the servant of all. Remember what David did after he was told he was going to be king? Yeah, he went back to tending the sheep. Is that what you would have done? Or would we would have caught the next camel going into Jerusalem to check out the palace and saying, here's where I'm going to live. He didn't get business cards printed up saying David the king. He just went back to being David the shepherd. He was a servant. Heart of dependence on God, a heart of obedience to God, humble, a humble heart before God, and then he had a heart of integrity before God. Psalm 78:70, he chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. David shepherding them with integrity of heart. Integrity is what you are when no one's looking. Integrity is being away from everybody you know and choosing the right thing to do. Integrity is doing your job when there's no boss around and doing it right. Integrity is the kind of language you use when you're around folks who are lost and there's no other Christians. What kind of language do you use? Integrity. David was a nobody. Nobody noticed him, but God knew him. Because God didn't look at the surface, he saw David. In David, he saw in David a man after his own heart. What does God see in you? Boy, that's a convicting question, but it also can be encouraging. When Michelangelo walked down the streets of Florence, Italy one day, he saw a block of marble laying in an empty lot. Inquiring about it, he heard the owner say, "It's worthless now, good for nothing but paving blocks." Shaking his head, the sculptor artist replied, "Send it to my studio. There's something special imprisoned in that stone." Later, the sculptor chiseled away at the rejected stone, and he created the masterpiece, David, that's still renowned today. Oh, my friend, what a glorious thing it is when the master, Jesus Christ, takes a life that's scarred by sin and turns it into a masterpiece for him. God created you. You're significant to God, and he wants to mold you and make you into a person after his own heart. A man after God's own heart. But you know what it takes? It takes a nobody. It takes a nobody. May God help us to be nobodies today. Have a great Thursday, everybody. And I'll look forward to being with you again, Lord willing, for our broadcast tomorrow on Friday. Have a good day. And until tomorrow, this is Brother Slaybaugh reminding you, be good to everyone. Because everyone's having a tough time.
Thank you for listening today. If this broadcast was an encouragement to you, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us by email at pastor@bbcgrovecity.org, or you can call us at area code 614-875-2190. We invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church at 2758 Home Road in Grove City, Ohio. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for the morning worship service. We meet back together at 5:30 for our evening service and on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We also host the Bridge to Recovery Ministry, a faith-based recovery program bringing transformation to hurting people and our community. We meet every Thursday at 6:30 in the evening. You can find more information at our website about this and other ministries of Bible Baptist Church at bbcgrovecity.org. We hope that today these were truly words to encourage. Words to Encourage is paid for by the generous members and supporters of the Bible Baptist Church in Grove City, Ohio.
The joy of serving Jesus with a smile, a bright sunny smile.